Three, two, one, go. Hey, it's Bibster Talks 2. And I've apparently been talking to myself because it's been about 2 months since you've heard this voice. And I know you've all been missing it, but we are back. And we're excited because we're back with live interviews. No more phone. Well, for this time, no more phone calls and no more sounding like, obviously, we're talking through a phone. I'm here sitting at his beautiful shop with Ed Shoemaker at Shoemaker Guitar Works down here in Davenport. Want to introduce yourself and kind of give us a little bio and we'll kind of get right into things.
How you doing, guys? Thad Shoemaker here. Got a little guitar shop here in Davenport, 1706 Brady Street, Suite 102. I have a whole store full of guitars for sale, plus I do repairs and custom builds. So if you need a custom built guitar, something you can't normally get somewhere, or something that somebody won't do, bring it in and bring your idea in, you know, and I'll draw something up and we'll do something there.
Yeah, as a person who, as anyone that actually knows me in real life, my gear-loving addiction I have, this is a really dangerous place for me to be sitting right now. Because I'm literally looking around like, ooh, I want to go touch that one.
Right.
Ooh, can I go touch? So,
trust me, even as a shop owner, every day I come in here and I'm amazed. I'm like, oh, I got to play this guitar today, yeah. You know? It's like, you know, it's just one of those things that as a gearhead and a guitar player and you know, I handpicked everything out of this. Mm-hmm. I bought a guy out that had all of his gear, mm-hmm. and he was going out of business. He was retiring, and so I handpicked out of his inventory what I wanted for the shop. So I love everything in here,
mm-hmm. And I think that's cool because it's not, you know, one of the things that we're gonna get into is just we're gonna, you know, have this whole conversation about what small shops are like today and what the future looks like for them. And I think there's a as I was driving down here today, I was kind of thinking about, you know, how this conversation goes. Because in 2019, a lot of people look and go, you opened a shop? You know, we're in the market right now.
And, right.
What was kind of that thought process? And we were talking a little bit off air before we got going, and kind of what, you know, where you were before. And if you want to give us a little history,
sure,
what kind of
sure.
got you started into building guitars?
Well, you know, my grandfather did instrument repair on the side as just kind of his hobby. And, that I was always intrigued, and I learned a lot by watching him as a young kid. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he passed away when I was 12 years old, so I never got to learn what I wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. But I took the little bit of knowledge that I got from him and built my first guitar in wood shop at 14 years old. And, you know, it was a piece of junk, but, you know, it wasn't great. I was 14 and, you know, mm-hmm. You know, didn't know anything at the time, but I knew I wanted to build a guitar. And so moving on in life, I guess I've always been a guitar player. I've been playing guitar since I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on in life, I, you know, was at a career. I had my career at a major manufacturer, and I was a mechanic, and I just hated life, and I hated my job, and I wanted to do something different. And I kind of gave myself a 5-year plan 2 years ago to where I didn't want to be working for the man within 5 years. Well, I beat that by 3 years.
Heck
so
yeah.
I decided to, you know, quit my job and open up a new shop and kind of risk it. You know, the only thing I'd be out, like I told my wife, is my 401k. You know, that's what I used to mm-hmm. start my shop. So I, you know, hadn't seen that money before anyway.
Yeah,
you know, it always came out of my check, and I, you know, something that I didn't have. So I figured, what the heck, you know, and I'll do it and try it for a year and see how it goes. Well, I'm 4 months in and I'm doing pretty darn well. So
yeah.
I've got, you know, several guitars on order that I'm in the process of making. I've got a whole store full of guitars. I'm constantly getting, you know, trade-ins or different stuff in. So it's kind of neat. Got a few things on consignment, and you know, it's going to be a long ride, and I know it is, you know, but to me, it's worth it. I'm happy in life again, and, you know, that makes everything good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's so much that, because, and we were talking before kind of about people that know me in rough. I'm 30 years old, so I have a lot of friends that we're all in that, you know, if we haven't made our, like, career job choice, we're
right.
all in that point of, like, you're either at a job or you're thinking, like, is this where I want to be till I retire? Or am I trying to find that other spot? Because, I'm, you know, the thought process is like, hey, I need to get somewhere and stay there for a while. But a lot of them, and, you know, and I have this discussion of, like, yeah, they can You know, you can make all the money in the world working at some job, but if you hate it and you go home and you're like, oh, this is terrible,
yep.
It's not worth it. Like, how much is that money really worth it in the long run?
Most definitely.
Going, hey, you know what? I can work a job that's I'm fulfilled in what I do, and it's exciting. And when I go home, I'm not in a bad mood because work was terrible, which makes the home life worse because, you know, you come home mad. And it's that
right.
Whole
deal. Yep.
You're mad.
Yep.
Your wife gets mad, and she's mad at the kids, and the kid kicks the dog. And so it's this
yep.
whole
yep.
this whole cycle.
It's
versus,
a big circle, yep.
And then, you know, so it's cool to see, as you know, you said, you've been here for 4 months and been excelling. And like I said, in a time period where a lot of people would say, whoa, brick and mortar, you know, what's – I thought everything was online. And I had this thought process. I was going to kind of bring it up with you on this is I feel that brick and mortar is going to make a resurgence because basically I think that especially some of the big, even the big box stores that have gone to try to push online sales so much are going to realize that at a certain point, people are going to want to go back to a store, but they're not going to want to go back to just some big, you know, like, oh, you know, I don't know who the guy is. I don't know who's
doing
the work.
Most definitely.
They want to go back to a place where it's like kind of like the old Cheers line. Everybody knows your name. You know,
yep.
You go in, they know, like, for a guitar store, it's like, oh, hey, you know what? You always use 11s. Here you go. You know,
most definitely. Yep.
And I think that is going to become, you know, as we've seen other things, almost like you've seen the vinyl industry
yeah,
come
yeah,
back.
Yep.
Because people all of a sudden realize, you know what? I want something that's a little more real. I want something that's a little more, I can put my hands on and feel
yeah.
it. I think that is what we're going to, you know, and obviously it's what you're hoping to see, but
right,
I think it's
yeah.
what.
No, it kind of goes back to the retro thing, you know, people want something or maybe even like the eclectic kind of thing to where, you know, people want something handmade
mm-hmm.
or, you know, they want something different than what everybody else has got. I mean, I do too. I just traded my 70 Chevelle for a Studebaker. I mean,
yes.
You know, nobody's got a Studebaker around here. There's maybe five in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, something a little bit different. But, you know, so I can take that customer and talk to them and, you know, figure out what exactly they want, what kind of wood they want, you know, what style of guitar they want.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I just had a customer bring in a guitar. He's a left-handed guitar player. He brought me a right-handed guitar
mm-hmm.
That is an Ovation, and he wants me to make one that's almost identical to it, but left-handed, because Ovation won't make one for him.
Huh.
And he's talked to a few other people in the area. They're like, eh, maybe, but, you know, I don't want to kind of thing, you
yeah.
know, and kind of jerked him around on it, and I'm like, you know what, that's what I do. I'll do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call it an Ovation Viper, but I can call it a Shoemaker Guitar Works Cobra or something like that, you know. I mean, you know, it you know, so yeah, it goes back to the you know, hands-on kind of thing
mm-hmm.
with it that people enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to a guitar center, you're buying a guitar off the wall from that mm-hmm. came out of a box. And it's not set up. The guitar, the guitar tech there, and I say that with quotation marks, finger quotations, because technically there's not a tech. I mean, you know, they're a dude that played guitar that doesn't have any real formal training in how to do any kind of repair or anything, you know.
Yeah.
So I actually went to luthier school. I was spending my weekends off going to Chicago School of Guitar Making
okay.
and taking classes when they were available, as far as doing setups or doing repairs mm-hmm. or I still want to go back up there for some of their build classes, because I would like to get into acoustic building, and that's totally different process than an electric, you know,
yeah.
solid body.
Yeah,
Yeah, I can proudly say that I'm one of two people in the area that have actually been to luthier school,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is one of my friends. He's another competitor, but we work together as competitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll send each other work if, you know, one of us is too busy or whatever, or one mm-hmm. of us doesn't do that particular job
yeah.
or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, it just. I turned my passion into my dream.
Yeah.
You know, and don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah.
Go out there and try your dream. You know,
mm-hmm.
what's the worst you're going to do? I set my goal as failure is not an option, you know. So I'm going to do whatever I have to do in order to make myself successful. You know, if I have to set up a store on eBay or Reverb or something to sell some of these guitars to make money to pay my bills, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal to me. But that being said, 4 months in, I'm pretty happy with how things are going so far.
Yeah.
You know, I've got tons of orders on guitars. I'm busy in the repair department. Sales are okay. So, you know, I got something here for everybody. I mean, guitars start at $50. So, you know, you got, and I've got ukuleles that start at, $22. Mm-hmm. So, something for everybody.
Yeah. And I think, like you were talking about the difference between like the box store techs versus here. It's kind of like, you kind of equate it. 'Cause if you're not a guitar player, like, I don't get what we're talking. Think about the difference between when you go get the 5 minute oil change, like the person that's working on your car there versus like, oh, my transmission's out, and you take it to a transmission shop.
Right.
It's the difference in, or a body shop versus an oil change shop. It's the difference in what the technician and what the person knows what to do versus, technically, they can change strings and they can, adjust the neck a little bit, which is, if that's what you need done, okay. You know?
Fine, yeah, but fine and good. But yeah,
actually, I need to have a new nut made because this one's junk or this one's set so high.
Right.
And I'm too scared to file it down because when you go too far, then you got to start all over.
Right. Or, you need a neck reset on your guitar or, something like that. It's, that's something that just a regular guitar tech can't do.
No, or really wants to.
Or really wants to do,
As somebody that likes to dabble a little itty bitty bit in playing around with stuff, the thought of a neck reset or any of that stuff, well, it just scares the willies right off of me because I'm like, oh, I'm afraid sometimes to be like, man, if I sand this down to wood again, it's probably going to never look as good as it probably looks now, but I'm going to say it looks better.
Right. No, there's definite differences there, but everybody's kind of got their place in this business, I guess, I take pride and I put my hands on every guitar in here, You buy a guitar and you pick a guitar up and you don't like the way it plays off the wall or whatever. If you want it set the action set lower or higher or whatever, I'm going to do that. So, I'll make sure that it's perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of another difference between myself and say a big box store like Guitar Center or something
You might sometimes have, but you're never going to have, it's never the same versus, if there's an issue with the guitar down the road, they're going to call you. It's not like you're going to call somebody and then they're going to be like, get bounced around 15 different ways. So when did you said in 20, you built a guitar when you were 14.
Correct.
When did you get back into, because obviously you're now doing full-blown builds and they're not just kind of, I know this is kind of in the guitar builder industry. This is you're starting off with a chunk of wood and ending up with a guitar.
Correct.
It's not like, oh, I'm, I build the body, but I'm buying a neck.
No. I do it all. So I've got several examples here that if we were on video, I could show you because I've got
next time, folks. I'm just going to dabble in it now.
I take a chunk of wood and make the body. I take another chunk of wood and make the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I do is hand done. I cut it out on my bandsaw and. My router table or my hand router, whatever. I don't use any CNC process, nothing, everything is all touched by my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like it that way because it makes it more personal,
mm-hmm.
And sure, I could do CNC stuff and I could crank out guitars left and right. And maybe someday I might eventually do that.
Yeah.
But for now, it might take me 6 months to build you a guitar, but it's going to be exactly what you want, how you want it. It's going to be, 100% handmade by me, minus the hardware and the pickups, and stuff like that. But there's just a certain pride I can take in doing that.
Yeah, I think it's...
And, I actually... You asked about how I got into this past being my first guitar in wood shop. Mm-hmm. I've been doing repairs on and off out of my basement for probably 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I'd buy a tool here and there if I needed it or whatever, you know, to do stuff and do stuff for friends or myself or, you know, and then I started getting kind of a customer following. And then about 5 years ago, I wanted to build a guitar again. So I bought one of the cheap kits and, of course, you know, it was crap. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I built it and it turned out okay. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from it and kind of taught me what to and what not to do and, you know, mm-hmm. how to set tolerances on my own stuff better than what these machine made, you know, pieces of junk are, I guess, yeah. you know. So that kind of helped me out. In 2017, I decided I was going to make that kind of my second job and, unofficially started the business Shoemaker Guitar Works out of my mm-hmm. out of my basement and took on my first real customers for builds mm-hmm. and just been going ever since with that. Unfortunately, last year in 2018 I had to have surgery on my hand, so it put me out for about 8 months mm-hmm. so that put me behind on stuff, you know, that people have ordered. But now since then I've gotten back caught up and I've been going strong at it again. But you know, it's always been my dream to do something like this, to have my own little guitar shop. And ever since I was a little kid and used to go to Gary's Music Mart in Silvis, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that was one of the it was a family-owned shop, and you know, I consider myself a family-owned shop. Any given day you might see my wife or my kids running around here mm-hmm. and you know, my daughter will sit and play on the computer or whatever. My boy will pick up every guitar he's allowed to and, you know, mess with it. And he's eight and he's just now learning how to play guitar. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we give lessons here. We have, Matthew Fuller giving lessons and, he's 20 now. He's been playing since he was, 9 years old, playing professionally in bars, I should say, since he was 9 years old, with his family band. And then he's, you know, done solo stuff, and now he plays with his family band, the Pena Brothers, and he also plays with a local band called Smooth Groove. And he's getting ready to get inducted into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so he's the man. He can play anything. He's just a good kid, and he's awesome with kids. And a little something different we're doing now is we've taken on our first special needs child mm-hmm. as a student, and this kid is awesome. He's ready to rock. Like the first song he wants to learn is Alice Cooper's "School It's Out for Summer," and that's his favorite song. And the next one he wants to learn is Roxanne from the Police. So yeah. He knows what he wants.
Yeah,
and you know, so if he sticks with it, that's awesome. And you know, he's kind of he's borderline special needs. He had a bad home life before this, mm-hmm. so that kind of messed him up mentally a little bit, mm-hmm. you know. And his new adoptive parents, who I worked with with his dad at my former job, and they're just great people. And mm-hmm. you know, he's come so far in such a short period of time. That, you know, this is something that we're going to start doing, that we want to do, is, you know, take these children who are, you know, show interest in music but are less fortunate or, yep. you know, have something, you know, going on with them mm-hmm. and help them out and, you know, make their brain work like it, you know, try and make their brain work a little bit like it should.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's I feel is something that, is another thing that's unique about us, you know, that we're willing to try that. And I only know of one other place that's willing to do that mm-hmm. In the Quad City area. So that's kind of a neat thing to do, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot where this kind of hits back to home. My cousin actually works out in San Diego with the Banding Together program, and she does music therapy for
sure,
special needs
sure.
and they just got done in a camp. And so when I saw you were posting stuff about that, I was like, oh my gosh, like that's literally how they kind of started mm-hmm. with teaching. And now they have these jam nights where they'll bring in like a local musician,
right?
And so it's like I kind of see the startings of like think that's how things go. And
yep.
it's such a cool, you know, some of these kids have been so, you know, in school they're it's not as bad as it used to be, but still, it's like, you know, they're kind of looked at like differently, and you
most
know,
definitely,
they're never,
yeah,
they're never getting to, they never get to really shine really the way they want to, and some of them, it's like this is the way they want to shine, and
yeah,
it's such a way to see them kind of realize like, oh my gosh, like this is like I get to do this more, you know, versus,
right? Yep.
Like and sometimes it's the skill they learn that what you would call, and I don't mean to be politically incorrect when I say it, like a regular kid can't do, and
right,
they can. It's such a cool moment where they're,
oh, yeah,
like, hey, I can play guitar. You
yeah,
know, like,
yeah,
I wish you could play, you know, but you want to play guitar.
Right.
So I think that's a cool program
to
start.
And, yeah, and watching this kid, just the few lessons that he's had, he's going to succeed at it.
Mm-hmm.
He really, really wants to learn, and, you know, he's learning the opening riff to that song and the first couple chords, and he's loving it. And I've never seen a smile on that kid's face like that. Any of the pictures that that his parents have posted.
Mm-hmm.
So just seeing that huge smile on that kid's face when he's back there playing guitar in our lesson studio, it's awesome, you know. And that the first time he came in and did that, it kind of brought a tear to my eye.
Oh yeah,
you know. So it's it really kind of hits home, you know.
Yeah.
Something that. That we all have to face, you know, because, you know, you never know. You or I could have a child that mm-hmm. has special needs at some point, you know. So, thankfully, I won't have any more children. If I do, I'm in trouble. So,
you're like, so this, I can't.
Right. But, you never know. So,
exactly.
That's something else that I wanted to add to our toolbox here,
mm-hmm.
more, you know, for lack of a better term. Something that we do different.
Yeah.
So, you know, another thing that I'm doing is I'm involved with this organization called Frets for Vets.
Okay.
And they what they do is they help veterans with PTSD and suicidal mm-hmm. issues and stuff, and get them instruments, or sometimes they'll be taught how to make instruments. They always have something going on as far as helping these vets out and helping them use music to get through their PTSD or mm-hmm. suicidal issues and whatever. And they've had a really good success rate. And I found out about it from one of the guitar building sites I was on, and I contacted the guy Tom, and he was more than willing to work with me and whatever. So he sent me some swag and some stickers and some information and stuff. And I'm currently building a guitar. It's a Telecaster style, or what I call a Commander.
Okay.
Because I can't call him a Tele.
Obviously.
But yeah. it's red, white, and blue. Looks like a, you know, similar to an American flag. It's got but it's relicked, and I wanted it to look like it had been through a battle, you know, with these soldiers. And I'm going to auction that off as soon as it's done, and the proceeds will go to Frets for Vets to help them out. And I just think it's a good organization to be involved with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's – and we see with everything, you know, in the last 20 years, all of the conflicts that have gone on,
oh, yeah.
there's a ridiculous amount of vets that have come back that have had to do more, you know. In every other war we've ever been in, it's been obviously shorter, and we haven't had to send guys back so many times that we've seen
right.
in these last 20 years, where,
right.
you know, you're seeing where I saw a case that there were guys like, oh yeah, my son's now in the same war I was in, and it's not because, like, he was born when it started, kind of a thing.
Right, right.
And, which is a discussion for another time, but it's the fact is a matter of we have as a nation an obligation to these guys. And,
yes, we do.
And we have to be able to take care of them for life, because they've done their service and they've done
right.
their sacrifice.
And we owe them our freedom, you
yeah.
know? So,
yeah.
You know, that's something else that I'm involved in. I just kind of like to do charitable kind of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, it helps other people out. It helps me feel better about things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And like last night, I was at a benefit for the Nate Nicholson Foundation, which
mm-hmm.
I'm a sponsor of. And Nate Nicholson was a local guitar player here for the Funktastic Five.
Okay.
And he was a guitar teacher at QC Rock Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And he he had a lung transplant a few years ago, and from the anti-rejection drugs, he ended up getting cancer, and it grew really fast, and like one day he was okay, the next day he was gone.
Wow.
And so his dream was always to leave no child behind and let them, you know, get their lessons and have the instrument of their choice and be able to play and just, mm-hmm. you know, pass that on to people. So like yesterday I donated a student level right-handed and a student level left-handed guitar. They were matching to the foundation to give to children who, you know, whose parents might not necessarily be able to afford to buy them a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to donate some lessons here. I know QC Rock Academy is also donating some lessons to the factor. So, you know, they gave away their first guitar last night to a kid who really likes, he loves music. He's 6 years old and he's got a little cigar box guitar and he's got a couple other ones that he'll the local bands will let him get up on stage and he doesn't plug in. He just sits there and strums, you know, and bobs his head and, you know, acts like he's playing or whatever. But now he's actually going to learn how to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was kind of a less fortunate person, I guess, you know, as to where, they don't have a lot of money and whatever to be able to do things. So he was the first recipient of the scholarship. And so that was pretty neat to be there and witness that. And, I like doing things like that, you know, when I can and just to help other people out.
Yeah.
You know, but again, you know, I'm a business, so I'm also in the business to make money, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I can't, but, you know, it makes you feel good to be able to do charitable things like mm-hmm. that once in a while.
Yeah, and it helps your, you know, in the end, we're all humans, and
we're all,
you know, it's like there's something about being able to help somebody out.
Yep.
And being able to see a smile on their face, and you're like, you know what, you can't always put a price on that.
Yep.
And it's great to see a business that's able to partner up, and you know, like you said, with the connections between the QC Rock Academy
mm-hmm.
and you and some other people that have kind of been involved in this. It's not like one is like, oh wow, you need to make all the investment. It's like we can all together kind of
yep.
carry the load and watch this.
I'll tell you what, that little boy last night, I've never heard him speak a word anytime he's ever been on stage mm-hmm. or hanging out with anybody. And he got up there and he grabbed the mic from the MC and was like, hey, I just want to say thank you to everybody mm-hmm. for doing this for me, and then handed him back the mic and walked off stage, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was touching, you know, to
yeah.
see that. And,
yeah.
it, you know, it brings a tear to your eye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's one of those you're like, I'm not cutting onions right
yep.
now. I'm cutting onions.
yep.
I always have my wife, I usually will send her those videos on Facebook that float around them. They're just there to make you cry.
Yeah.
And I always send them to her, and she's like, don't you dare send it right now. the one time I told her, I was like, hey, I got one I'm going to send you. She's like, no. And she's like, I can't watch this right now, but it's so true because it, you know, it hits you and you're just like, oh.
Yep.
But that's cool. So what's your, you know, we talked about, you know, you had that 5-year plan, you're year two into it. So you're 3 years ahead. Where do you see that? You know, where in 5 years, where do
well,
you
Well, I've just kind of set myself another 5-year plan goal mm-hmm. and my next 5-year plan would be to, still be doing this, still have a storefront, but I want to have an actual factory setting behind me to, you know, maybe buy a building or rent a building that, you know, I can have the storefront in the front part and have my factory in the back and mm-hmm. maybe have a few employees that, mm-hmm. You know, we're doing handmade stuff and have, you know, all the jigs set up and everything so we can not mass produce, but produce more guitars.
Yeah, you can put them out at – it's. You know, if you think about it, you have three people making handmade guitars.
Right.
There's equipment you'll need to have one of, so they can make them a whole lot faster than if he was trying to do it on his own, he was trying to do it on his own, she was trying
exactly.
to do it. It's like, instead of everyone trying to be like, oh, we all need to have this plan, we all need to have this route,
yeah.
it's like we can have one workshop with everything.
Yep.
We're all doing our own project.
Yep.
And there's, I mean, you can kind of see in the guitar world, and it's not, you know, when there are certain things like guitar players, like when in conversations, they'll be like, oh, this and this. And they're like, oh, yeah, and other people like, aren't talking about it. It's kind of almost like what like Crimson Guitars has done over in England.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what
yeah,
what.
Was,
and that's Ben is my biggest hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of what I am trying to base myself off of, you know, because he started in a shed in his backyard.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I started in my basement kind of thing. but just moving on from there and, you know, progressing. And he's progressed really, really fast. I don't intend to progress that fast because, you know, getting too big too fast is a bad thing also, you know.
If you watch that, you've actually kind of seen that reality. If you kind of get
Most definitely.
Go about 3 years ago and kind of watch, you almost see the stress level of a certain – and he's kind of figured it out and been able to dial things back.
Yeah.
But there was a – there was – about a year ago, there was this – you were watching. There was almost a frantic pace of like,
most
oh my
definitely.
Gosh, because it's that realization of like, we have – we could do all the orders in the world we want to, but do we want to – you know, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to be a guitar school?
Right.
And it was interesting to see how that's all worked. But, yeah, I definitely kind of see that – that vision that you have really relates to that. And I think there's a lot to that because, you know, just like there's mechanics and there's – you know, people out there that wrench.
Yeah.
Why isn't there more of these small local, you know, independent guitar makers that are producing their own product versus, you know, versus always just going and getting something from a box, which I'm not saying, you know, if anyone knows that I play a lot of import comes out of a box stuff because that's what usually is El Cheapo. And I
right. Oh, yeah,
on,
most
which,
definitely.
And there's good product out there, but there's something about being like, this is my one that, like, I can look at this guitar and be like, oh, I shook the hand of the guy that made this. Not like,
yeah.
I wonder how many people touched this thing. Or
right.
It's sat in a store for 5 years getting who knows what.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know that, you know exactly where that, you know, basically you could almost go up and look at the tree it was cut down
out
of.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's my ultimate, you know, 5-year goal now since I beat my last one by by a couple years. So that, you know, I think that, you know, if you don't set goals for yourself, you're not going to succeed at them.
Exactly.
So that's my next five year plan. And I'm glad you brought up Ben Crow because that's, you know, he's been the biggest influence in my guitar building career. And you know, I'm part of their Crimson Guitars Guild, and I was actually one of their Patreon sponsors for a while, and my name is still up there on their list on the end of all their videos and stuff, you know. So you see, if you go slow motion and right when it hits the S's, it's Shoemaker Guitar Works is on there. The coolest day in my life a couple years back was when Ben Crow actually personally liked my Shoemaker Guitar Works page.
Yeah,
you know, and I felt like, oh my god, this is awesome.
I
you know,
got it.
Yeah,
I'm here.
I'm making it. And then, you know, I made friends with like Matt Flaherty at Texas Toast Guitars, and I've actually got a body back there that he made, and I've got the neck that I made. So it's going to be kind of a collaboration build. But that's my guitar. That one's going to be mine. But
He saw my eyes and hands go together. If you podcast listeners know, I had a chance to talk with Matt and his crew a couple months ago, and it was that was one of the funnest interviews because it was like a Friday night.
Matt's awesome.
Oh, it was Friday night. Everyone was in a good place.
And he's from the Quad Cities. That's what's cool about
it. Now that I'm thinking back, because again, it was a good conversation we had.
Right.
I remember going. I think I remember him talking about that. Yeah, he's another one of those. You know, kind of that. You know, when you think about what you're doing, it's that same. Kind of walking not in someone's shoes, but walking in someone's footprints.
Right.
Because it's a little bit easier when someone's like, you kind of show me the way.
Most definitely. And I mean, you know, Matt just recently quit his real job.
Yeah.
And is doing Texas Toast full time. Mm-hmm. And now he's moving out of his garage shop and moving into an industrial setting, you know. And he's probably my second biggest hero in this business. And, you know. So I'm just kind of watching what these guys do and standing back a little bit, you know, and trying to kind of model myself after them, you know, and see what they're doing and see how their businesses go and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's there's a place out there for all of us, you know. And what's cool is being able to, like, you know, physically talk to these guys. Like, if I message Matt, he messages me right back, you know, answers any questions that I may have or something, you know, whether it be something about his equipment or, you know, hey, I'm in this situation. What should I do? You know? Yeah. And, if he can't answer my question, Chris will answer my question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's pretty neat, to have that factor. And, you know, I know they've talked about my shop a couple times on their Sunday afternoon live podcast they do on YouTube and whatever. And, so that was kind of cool, you know, but, yeah, Matt was born right here in the Quad Cities. He's a Rock Island boy, and his grandparents owned the popcorn shop that was in Duck Creek Mall that was right down the road from right down the hall from my brother's bakery that my my brother owned, and so that was kind of cool. You know, it's like, hey, I we probably ran into each other when we were kids and don't even realize it.
Yeah,
you know,
realize the connection there. But that's another, and I think that's what's kind of cool about, especially like the industry. You know, when you look at like the different how it's all kind of broke down, and when you get to the independent guitar builder level, there is such a like. You know, there's they know that, yes, technically we're in competition with each other, but we know we're not because we're not you're not building Texas Toast guitars.
Right.
You're not building Crimson guitars.
Exactly.
It's like you're building your guitars. And so everyone kind of knows that your customer's going to want your guitar. And if some customers are going to want Texas. Now, there might be a customer that wants one of each. And great,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it's a matter of knowing that we're not in direct. It's not like the big companies that are in direct, and even really, they're not really in direct competition because Fender's the only one that really makes a Strat. I mean,
right,
except for
yeah,
the Jimi Hendrix
yeah.
experiment that Gibson did. But I mean, so it's like, technically, they're not really technically in competition because when you want a style of guitar, you're going to go to, if you want that, if you need to have that name on your headstock, then you're going to go to that brand. But
exactly.
When you get to the independent level, I think there's such a, every builder is building something unique. I mean, yeah, there are some builders out there that are basically building just like a full on, like, yeah, that you can't tell that's not a Tele. And then there's other builders that are putting their touches on them and making it's like, oh, you know, that is definitely a Commander. Or,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I got a letter from Fender here back in 2018 when I wasn't even building guitars because I was off for my hand surgery, saying, hey, we've gotten word of your guitars and you can no longer copy our headstock. If you do, we will you'll be talking to our lawyers. Mm-hmm. So I had to change my headstock design. So, you know, because people clearly want copies, but they want handmade copies.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, so I did. I changed. I came up with my own headstock design, and now I have that. And so every guitar, every Fender-esque style guitar from here forward, you know, will have that style headstock. With all the crap going on with Gibson right now, I'm kind of changing my headstock design on there, where it was already a little bit different, but now I'm going something totally different because I don't want to take the chance there because look, I mean, Gibson's trying to sue Dean, who's been making the same guitar since 1979, the year I was born. You know, I mean, they clearly look nothing like. Mm-hmm. A Gibson, yeah, the body, yeah, it's a flying V, okay, but the headstock is an upside down V. It's not, you know, the diamond shape like a Gibson. So, you know, they're being petty, in my opinion. You know, and that's exactly why they went bankrupt last year. You know, is for stuff like that. You know,
the PR of the worst part is looking into that, and it's like. That lawsuit started like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's like, so all these new guys come along like, we're the new guys. We're going to try and save the company. And then this lawsuit from 5 years ago is like still with them. And they're like, oh, no.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, I feel the worst for Mark Agnesi because, you know, he had a killer job at Norman's Rare Guitars. And he did the guitar of the day for the last 5 years. And that was my favorite thing to watch every day on TV, on YouTube. And, now, you know, he's kind of turned into a schlub for Gibson.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those do what I have to do moments, you know, or get fired. Well, he moved everything to Nashville. So, you know, he's got to do what they want him to do. And so it makes him look like the jerk in the situation, you know. And it's
the internet, he's taking all the heat.
Yeah, he's taking all the bashing.
Versus you're like, it's really like some lawyers and, you know, years ago when they were like, this might have been, let's start this lawsuit up. And or we've been doing cease and desist for the last like 4 or 5 years, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's like all this stuff that he had no control over. And then he has to go out there because this is his new job and be the face of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, basically, I laughed about there was, you know, a couple weeks ago. And again, this is guitar player inside baseball, but most guys will play guitars. It's fine. So when like the Reverb Epsy thing happened, everyone was like trying to freak out about it. And really, we're like, look, Reverb was built to be a company they would eventually sell, like Chicago Music Exchange, had it as a side deal, built it up as a great company, and was able to sell it. Like, that's how investing works.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be that bad. And then it was like, Gibson's like, oh, this guy that filmed something that this demolition company was supposed to do that shouldn't have filmed it, released the video, we're back at the bat again. And it was like, I was kind of like, Reverb's probably like, We got no internet crap now. Like, we had about 20 seconds of it, then everyone's like, ah! And it's there's a lot of just stuff that, and a lot of times, you know, and there's sometimes it's time to, it's okay to be outraged, and there's sometimes it's just people want to get mad about something.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
They're looking at, this is the thing to get mad about, and you're like, look. Like, and it was a couple years ago, another podcast, 60 Cycle Home, they did a thing, they had an Epiphone SL,
mm-hmm.
and they were basically realized that the one that they got was crap. They had done some work to it, and they were basically, they were going to do some tests on a case, and they're like, we're going to throw this off a bridge. Of course, everybody then becomes a social justice police, and it's like, you could give it away. You should do
right,
that.
So right.
What do they do? They go, you know what? Someone goes, hey, you know what? I'll donate money to this charity if you guys actually do it. They end up raising like $1,000 for a charity to throw right. it off a bridge.
Yeah.
But people still will be like, I can't believe you guys wrecked it. And they're like, look, this guitar was garbage to start with. Like, they actually... He actually saved the body because the neck is what was junk. Like, the body was actually saved from the fall,
mm-hmm.
and he made it where he can do pickup testing now on it. He's still not done. But it's like, he still has technically saved it,
yeah.
but it's just funny because, I mean, it was, you know, and it's like, I'm like, you know, really? And it, sometimes you look at it, and it's like, with a lot of people that say that aren't actually doing anything. Like,
yeah.
you are actually doing things to help people that can't have guitars, that need, that don't
right.
have the opportunity
yeah.
to hear it.
Yeah.
Here's an opportunity to have one. A lot of people are just, I'm mad about this. I wish I could fix it.
Yeah. But you know, I've smashed a guitar before in my life or two, and you know, I kind of felt guilty about it afterwards, even though, you know, the first one I smashed was one of the mail order Roy Clark guitars that I got, you know, probably almost 25, 30 years ago off of, you know, TV. Mm-hmm. And, it was garbage from the time I got it, you know, and I still have the pieces of it. In fact, one of the pieces hangs on the wall in my garage,
yeah.
but, you know, it's, I still feel bad about it because, you know, it's a guitar,
yeah.
you know, it's an instrument. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be smashed, but.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot to it, but I see we're starting to get busy here. So we've gone pretty long. We'll have to do this again.
Yeah, most sure. definitely. I've had fun.
I mean, I need to come and hang out in here more often.
Oh yeah. Anytime.
I mean, my checkbook won't like it, but I'll like it. But thanks for coming on again. There'll be links
You're
in the description
welcome.
To your Facebook. Do you have a website, anything like that?
I do, shoemakerguitarworks.com.
Okay. There'll be links to that in the description, so make sure to check all those out. Check them out on Facebook. Again, for Bibster Talks.
And hashtag ShoemakerGuitarWorks on Instagram also.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, on the Instagram, because it's always for the gram. All right, for Bibster Talks 2, bye.